so it doesn't go off in the middle of it. We're ready? Good morning. As you can tell, we are still trying to reach out through the internet and our webpage. We will be doing this for at least one more week, which will include Palm Sunday. And we will have to reevaluate after that to see what we're going to do. But this morning, we're reaching out to you to share what God has laid upon our heart. And the title of the message is, In Times Like These. Let me start with my typical question to ask as our springboard for this message. Do you believe that God really loves you? Now, the answer to that question can determine how successfully you are going to be at getting through this national crisis. As many of you already know, there's a big difference between words spoken and deeds done. Saying that you believe something and actually acting upon that belief are two different things. So let me ask you again, do you believe that God actually loves you personally? It's in times like these that we need the love of God active in our lives. There's a hymn titled, In Times Like These, written by Ruth K. Jones. It was copyrighted in 1944 during the height of the Second World War. The hymn tells us that there are certain things that we need. The very first thing that we need is a Savior, and that would be Jesus. The second thing that we need is the Bible. The hymn tells us that we also need an anchor, and that that anchor must grip the solid rock with a capital R. The hymn tells us that the rock is Jesus. So I hope this morning, everybody listening to my voice knows Jesus personally and that he knows you too. The reason that this is important to me is because without a solid rock like Jesus to base your faith upon, you're not going to make it through this particular crisis without damage. If a person doesn't know Jesus as personal Savior, they have a valid reason to be fearful about what might be coming as part of this crisis. Let me share a passage of Scripture with you as a means of encouragement. The passage of Scripture is Romans 8, 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah! What a statement of faith that Paul makes to the Roman church about the love of God. If a person doesn't have Jesus as their Savior, they don't know the love of God. It doesn't matter what good things they do. They're lost to the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about with Nicodemus when he came to him at night and wanted to know about being born again. Jesus was talking about being born again and not being lost anymore. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit working in the individual's life to act as to affect the new birth and the indwelling of the Spirit in the individual's heart. We read about it in John 3, 3 through 7. John 3, 3 through 7. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, things are getting complicated. Suddenly, people may want things to be different in this world. They may want a different relationship with God. And I'm glad that they want to establish a different relationship, but it won't be on their terms. But it will have to be on God's terms. Someone might ask, what are the terms that God might require? The answer to that question is a solution to the world's problems. First, we need to acknowledge that everyone is a sinner. If you are not a sinner this morning, God cannot help you. Let me say that again. If you are not a sinner this morning, God can't help you. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means that everyone is a sinner. If you're not a sinner, God can't help you. Secondly, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God warned all of mankind that if a soul sinned, it would die. He told us this in His Word. In Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. In other words, folks, God has said that we are each responsible for what we have done, and if we have sinned, then we will have to pay the price, which is we will die. Thirdly, God was not happy about our sinning, but He's a holy God. And so He can't have sin around Him or in His presence, so death is necessary for the sinner. I'm so glad that God made a way for us to get around this situation. We read about it in the Bible too. Romans 5:8-9. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Jesus died to save us. Next, we read in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't this what the world wants during this crisis? They want someone to save them. Well, Jesus is the only one who can save them. In Acts 4:10-12, Peter was preaching, and he said, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There you have the answer for the sinner as to how to get saved. As the hymn says, in times like these, you need a Savior. You know, there's actually a lot more involved in experiencing a relationship with Jesus. I'd like to take some time right now to talk about one of the things that seem to be troubling a large segment of our population. Fear is growing and becoming a problem for many of the people who don't know Jesus. Let me say that again. Fear is growing and becoming a problem for many of the people who don't know Jesus. Many who claim to know Jesus are having a problem too, because they don't have a foundation for their beliefs. God gave us His Word, or Bible, so that we would know what He expected from us, and so that we could be assured that what the Bible says is true. Paul understood the relationship that the true believer has with God. He made this statement to his son in the Spirit, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1, 11 through 13. 2 Timothy 1, 11 through 13. Paul said to Timothy, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul had committed his soul and even his life to God through Jesus Christ. Paul was willing even to die for the testimony of Jesus, and in fact, he did die for his beliefs at the hand of Emperor Nero of Rome. Paul had no fear nor doubts that God would care for his soul, and we know that Paul is in heaven right now with God and Jesus because the Bible tells us so. Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." As a believer and child of God, I know that the Bible is true and God has placed within each of us a knowledge of that truth. Over time, we sin against God, and little by little, our hearts become hardened, and we might even get to a point that our conscience doesn't bother us when we sin. The problem is that we have become a crisis society. We operate between one crisis and the next. We seem to be motivated to respond to crisis. Usually we can come up with answers, but for most of us, we've never been down this road before, and people around us have never been here before either. We are not real sure what needs to be done, and so there is fear. Fear paralyzes our minds, and we can't come up with answers to the problem that seems to surround us. I can assure you right now that the Christians have the right answers. And what might be the answers? Don't be afraid. You can say that that's easy to say, but as I look at the world around me, as I look at the people that form our society, I don't see love. I see hatred and strife because there is no love for God or for our fellow man. Here is what God says, 1 John 4, 18 through 24. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." This morning, I don't want you to be afraid. And if you know Jesus, you won't be afraid. It's the people that don't know Jesus that have any reason to be afraid. We've seen people buying up all the toilet paper available because they're afraid that they will run out. That's a product of fear. I'm seeing something else that frightens some of the people around me, the tremendous increase in gun sales and the sales of ammunition. Fear is behind that too. People are afraid because they don't know God or His Word or how everything's going to turn out. If you're a Christian this morning, you should know that what the Bible says about how things are going to turn out is the way it's going to work. God is going to take care of His own. And that means that He is going to take care of His children. This isn't the end time. It's just a little interlude in our history of mistreatment of each other. If you're a Christian, this should be an exciting time as we see God working around us and providing for us in some unusual ways. I've no idea as to how long this crisis is going to last, but it's going to change things within our society. For the purpose of separation, we've had to close our churches at a time that they are needed more than ever. Yet we can minister to the needs of the lost people around us by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and by demonstrating the love of God. That's the only answer to the fear that's building in our society. Basically, we are social animals and need each other to provide love and human contact among our peer groups in order to be fulfilled as humans. We need hugs and kisses to feel fulfilled and wanted. This isolation goes against the grain and causes great discomfort. Our own selfishness causes us to want to violate the separation requested by our government. Yet violating that request could endanger some, even cost some, their lives if they were to become infected with the Corona-19 virus. I believe that our church people know and love Jesus, so they will be all right. But if you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus, then don't procrastinate any longer. Get on your knees and ask Jesus to come into your heart. If you have doubts about your relationship with Jesus, don't waste any more time wondering. Believe on Jesus today, right now. Don't put it off another minute. Get on your knees and call out to God, confessing your sins and asking Jesus to come into your heart and take control of your life. If you're a church member of our church or any church, and you're feeling fearful, call me and let me show you from the Bible why the true believer should not be afraid. God is in control. And He has promised not to leave you or forsake you. King David cried out to God in his Psalm 27:9, "Hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." You can do the same as David did. You can call out and you can believe that Jesus will answer back. Hebrews 13:5-6 tells us, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So as we come to a close for now, should a Christian be afraid? No, not if we are in a right standing with God. But if you're not in a right standing with God or His Son, Jesus Christ, then you have plenty of reason to be afraid. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, and you can be saved. Father, we ask that as we send this message out over the airwaves, that your will be done in every heart that hears it. And Father, if there are some listening to this message who do not know Jesus, or that they have doubts in their hearts as to whether or not they know Jesus, may your Holy Spirit minister to the needs of their hearts. May you give them the assurance of their relationship in Him to you. And Father, may all of us fulfill your purpose for us. And Father, may we share with those around us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.